She said, "I'm just beer." What absorbs through your skin?
Appreciate it. All right, thank you.
Probably also not as tasty as.
Good morning,
and
this winter day for sure, and on this Veterans Day, a special welcome to all our veterans, and a very big thank you for all that you've done to serve our country and to give us all the opportunity to live in a free country. Thank you very much for your service. Very appreciated. Today we're also packing Operation Christmas Child shoe boxes. During VBS, Ron has applied for a Thrivent grant, so we got $250 for that for postage, and then we've had another generous donation from them, and then people have brought in a lot of things. So we already have 47 shoeboxes packed, ready to go, and then today I have 20 that look like this that have hygiene packs and school supplies. So we need people to come and make them look like this. It takes probably 5 minutes, and even four-year-olds can do it, so I know that all of you would be able to help. So they're packed. I'm just going to kind of tell you what happens with them. They're packed. Then I'll be taking them either to Brainerd or Aiken. Then they're packed in bigger boxes. They go to Minneapolis to a distribution center where they add a little packet about what Jesus is, what being a Christian is. And then from Minneapolis, they go by plane and then boat and plane overseas. And then to get to the little villages and the cities, they go by elephant, camel, bicycle, little boats, many different ways. And I have my college roommate was a missionary in Africa, and she told me the story of a small village that had no church. There was nothing there. Operation Christmas Child delivered shoeboxes, and there's now a thriving church just because of those shoeboxes. So I just want to thank all of you for your participation over the years, because we've been doing it. I think when my son was 16, we started it, and he's now 36. So we've been sending for many, many years. So thank you. And our first song is We Are Called, and it talks about that God calls us and what we are to do. So please join in with that song. And it's in your hymnal on page 720.
Justice.
Well, good morning again, everyone. Welcome to Bethesda Lutheran Church here on the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. Glad you're all with us this morning. This is part two of the announcements. Thanks for Darlene for kicking us off. In terms of Veterans Day, we also, of course, the Mammal Lions hosted a delicious pancake breakfast yesterday. And so they definitely wanted to say thank you for all those that helped out and all those that came. Do you still have some items on sale? All right, so still some bake sale items. Not leftover pancakes, I don't think. But some delicious bake sale items. I know I've already enjoyed a cookie or two from the bunch that I bought. So, you also noticed, last Sunday, during our prayers today, we're going to include additional prayers that we forgot last week on All Saints Sunday for all those members and other folks in our community that passed away this past year. So we'll have a little bit of extra prayer for them during our prayers of intercession this morning. So definitely sorry for anyone who was looking for that last Sunday. Just kind of, with everything else going on, it just sort of slipped my mind. So my apologies for that. In more exciting news, we are very glad to have our drummer George back. Yeah! And I know you'll notice he still has a bit of a bandage on his hand, but he did have a doctor's note. He showed it. You saw the doctor's note. He is allowed to play drums, so we're glad to have him back, especially me, since that means I can just be up here. You also, of course, as part of Veterans Day, I forgot to mention too, you'll notice all the names in the back of our bulletin of current and former members that have served in one way or another. A number of other announcements, of course, as usual. This is a week for a lot of meetings, so you'll notice, Monday, make sure to keep a look at the calendar. You know, there's women's devotion, there's stewardship meeting, there's property meeting, there's council meeting, and we're doing carpet cleaning as well, so it'll be a busy time here around Bethesda this week. Just keep that in mind if you serve on any of those committees or are otherwise planning on being in the building. Also notice again an announcement about funeral services for Marlis Beavers, who was a part of this church for a number of years. See another notice in there about the men's annual fishing trip, so if you've been kind of on the fence, make sure to think about coming along for a really good time. I know I went on that last year and really enjoyed the time that I had with the guys. And that's a pretty cushy setup. You know, you get up there, they warm up the fishing house for you, so you just go from the truck right on into the fishing house, and it's all pretty full-service kind of a deal. So, I don't know if George is going to brave going up there again after getting that infection. Well, never mind. Well, let's just go over that. But it was a good time anyway. But let's see. Is there anything else? Does someone else have an announcement? Yes. All right. Oh, dueling announcements. It was kind of fun to read a lot of those results. And some of the things we put on there were just kind of for, you know, just for the heck of it. And I know one of the last questions I put in there was about going to Common Cup Communion. That was resoundingly not an interest in the congregation. I just thought, what the heck, I was just kind of curious. But there's like no interest in that at all. So as much as I'm sometimes willing to pick a hill and and fight for it, I decided not to die on that particular call. Not that I'm like, big into it anyway, I just thought it would be funny. We also include in our prayers this week, I know those that were at the breakfast yesterday saw the helicopter come in to pick up Gaylord Westerlund, so we're keeping him in our prayers. I think he's doing okay from what I've heard, but certainly we keep Gaylord in our prayers. Also, of course, continued prayers for the people of California as they are mourning the lives lost in the shooting, and then now with all the wildfires going on, so definitely keeping some of those folks in our prayers as well. So, if there's not anything else, I guess we're ready for the next song.
556 in your hymnal.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who calls us into an everlasting hope, who guides us to springs of the water of life, who enlightens us with the Spirit of wisdom.
Amen.
One with the communion of saints in all times and places, let us confess our sin against God and one another. O God, our merciful Redeemer,
we confess the ways we live only for ourselves. We fail to see you in our neighbor's face. We turn our ears from voices that cry out. We pass by the hungry and the oppressed. In your great mercy, forgive our sins and strengthen us for service to all in need. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sin. Blessed are you. Rejoice and be glad, beloved people of God.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. God of justice,
you sent your servant Micah to proclaim justice and peace to a world that lacked both. Make us instruments of justice and peace so that your world might prosper. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
You may be seated.
When I find myself in terms of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me.
Our first and main reading this morning is from the book of Micah, the first, fifth, and sixth chapters. For lo, the Lord is coming out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. Then the mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will burst open, like wax near the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what is the high place of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, one who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give up them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be of the one of peace. If the Assyrians come into our land and tread upon our soil, we will raise up against them seven shepherds and eight installed as rulers. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give the firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And please rise for the gospel response. And our gospel passage this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter and the 13th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus said, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. It's kind of cold when you're not wearing a robe, I tell you. I'm going to get my fur-lined one out this morning. Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we noted in the beginning of our worship service, besides this being the 25th day of the Sunday after Pentecost, it is, of course, Veterans Day in our country. Not exactly a religious holiday, but certainly sacred in its own right. As Christians, we do acknowledge that service and courage comes in many forms by many kinds of people, each with their own gifts, each of us members of the same body. But it is a worthy occasion for prayer, as we remember all those who, as members of our armed forces, have been willing to put their lives on the line for others. And even within the military, courage comes in many forms. I recently came across the story of Jill Morgenthaler. She is a person who has many firsts by her name attached to her, and certainly not as something because she is bragging, but just simply the fact of who she is. In college in 1972, she became part of the first group of women who trained as an equal with men in the ROTC program. She was out of Penn State. She was then one of the first to receive a four-year Army scholarship, one of the first female military intelligence commanders in the DMZ in Korea and Germany, the first battalion commander in a certain battalion, the first female brigade commander, and so on. All in all, Colonel Morgenthaler had a 30-year career in the Army and the Army Reserves, serving in South Korea, Germany, Bosnia, Iraq, and assisting with disaster recovery in the wake of the 1989 earthquake in San Francisco. But before she ever stepped foot in an active combat zone, she was called upon to be courageous. ROTC at Penn State went relatively well, but when time came to head off, I think between her junior and senior years in college, she had to head off to leadership boot camp with all the other cadets in 1975. Her father, a career Marine working in the Pentagon, sat her down to make sure she was prepared for what lay ahead. Boot camp was going to be tough, he told her. They're going to try and break you down. And, of course, this kind of sounds like what you expect boot camp to be like. It's sort of the reputation it has. And so she started to brush him off, and he said, "No, you don't understand. As one of the first group of women, it's going to be even harder. There are a lot of those men that aren't going to be welcoming of you, from fellow cadets on up through the structure. Just don't forget why you're going, to save lives, to help bring freedom. And when in doubt, just fake it till you make it." And from the moment she arrived, it was just as her father had cautioned. Even as she tried to walk on the base, she and her other 83 women cadets were sort of mobbed by a group of reporters asking all kinds of questions. And of course, on the base, all the glares. 83 women, 500 male cadets, and 50,000 other men who were stationed at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. To say she was outnumbered is to put it mildly. She faced all kinds of name-calling, all kinds of rude behavior, all kinds of anger and judgment. Things settled down a bit when she began to train with her squad, but, of course, being new is being new, whether you're a man or a woman. And she remembers the first time she had to rappel down a wall. She didn't even know what rappel meant, right? You kind of grab the rope and you kind of jump down it in stages. But it took about 30 seconds before she was hanging upside down, you know, not exactly the impression you want to have when you're trying to fit in with the group. It was hard for her to make friends. I think she was one of the few women in her specific squad, the numbers being what they were. And so when it came time for the obstacle course and to pick a partner, she wasn't sure she was going to be able to find one, until one man came up to her and asked if she would team up with him. Now, of course, she was nervous. She had only been there for a short time, but already perhaps a little jaded. "Why would he want to partner with me?" So she asked him, "Why do you want to partner with me?" And so the cadet, by the name of Mogorski or Murkowski or something Polish like that, you know, he said, "Well," kind of sheepishly, he said, I "this obstacle course has water in it." She's like, "Okay, yeah." He's like, "Well, I can't swim. And I figure you won't be the one to leave me behind." And so she began to bond with her squad, and especially her partner, Mogorski. And at the end of training, when they had all take their surveys about their fellow officer cadets, all of them said they would be happy to serve with her, that they would all go into battle with her. Of course, that didn't mean that the rest of the 50,000 men on the base were exactly on board with their female colleagues quite yet. In fact, some of the higher-ups decided that, well, now that we have female women, you know, active fully in the military, that means we can finally put on that beauty pageant that we've been wanting to put on. We've come a long way, thankfully, I think, from that. And as you might imagine, a beauty pageant was not exactly what she had in mind. To say that she was unenthused by this idea is to put it mildly. This isn't what she came to do. She had only even packed one sort of basic dress with her. That wasn't really what she thought of. But they made it clear, again, this is an order. You're going to participate in this beauty pageant. And when they made it clear to her, luckily she was with her squad mates. And so, good old Mogorski stepped up and said, "I'll volunteer as well." And so, when it came time for the beauty pageant, there was Morgenthaler in her plain one dress that she brought with her. And there was Mogorski in a nice red dress borrowed from one of the officer's wives. You know, courage and honor comes in many forms, as I said. Our readings from Micah today include some of the most well-known passages, perhaps the only passages we might vaguely be able to recall from the book of Micah. It's not one we often dig into. Some of those prophets kind of blend together after a while. We get them a little bit around Advent and Christmas, about this time of year, and then sometimes we get that last bit that we read this morning. What offerings, what kind of sacrifice does the Lord demand? Lots of grilled meat, rivers of oil, firstborn children. They may seem like incredible burdens to bear. But Micah has another idea. Perhaps God demands something that is in some ways much more simple and yet other times much more difficult. That the Lord instead calls us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. No doubt Morgenthaler and Mergorski would later go on to be called upon for much more conventional acts of courage, but at boot camp, what was required was something a bit more humble. Mergorski started with being humble by admitting to a weakness, to admit that he might need help, and he had to place his trust in his new colleague. And when it comes to walking humbly, maybe not entirely humble, but certainly putting a dress on in front of several thousand of your soldiers probably qualifies as humbling yourself in the name of doing justice and walking kindly with others. And of course, that's not to make him the hero of the story either. You know, he certainly showed courage and honor and kindness, but we can't forget that Colonel Morgenthaler and her fellow female cadets showed an incredible amount of courage as they faced down those hordes of angry stares and unkind words, demeaning requests to parade themselves in front of a sea of men, all so they could serve their country. They didn't seek the spotlight. They would have preferred to walk humbly, to go relatively unnoticed, to just simply be able to do justice and love kindness, to serve as they felt called to serve. But of course, sometimes we are thrust into moments where we are called upon to be prophetic, whether we want to or not. And that is true for all of us, I would say. Maybe it's just me, but so many of our choices in life, they kind of overwhelm you with complexity, right? When you get into it, sometimes it's easier just to kind of just play dumb once in a while. You know, there's so many variables to think about, like, what is the right decision this way or that? It could be even over relatively minor things. Sometimes there are things that are irrelevant enough we can just kind of brush off and just figure, well, you know, thankfully we can get through the cereal aisle without taking, you know, an hour or two weighing our various decisions. But that doesn't necessarily stop us completely from hemming and hawing over even the most minor of decisions. I'm sure that many of you, during many of my sermons, are wrestling fiercely, not exactly with the lesson or my sermon, but where you want to go for lunch after the service, right? It's a hard thing to wrestle with, where it's going to be a good choice. But of course, sometimes we are faced with choices that are simpler, but not exactly easier, where the choice is between what is right and what is wrong, or maybe what is right and what is easy. When we are faced with the issues of doing right by others, but we are filled less with debates over the right and the wrong and more about, is it worth the trouble? If I'm out at a store and I hear someone say something nasty to someone else, engage in some kind of discriminatory remark or something just simply unkind, do I say something? Do I intervene? Do I at least offer words of sympathy to the person that is on the receiving end? What if the person saying something horrible is my friend or a family member? It's a can of worms, right? This is the test we are often faced at Thanksgiving coming up, right? You have those meals with your family, and you got to decide just how much you want to open your mouth for something other than shoving turkey in it, you know? It's hard to know when to stand up and when to just let things go. And especially hard once we bump into some of those first walls, right? You know, we want to stand up, we want to do the right thing, and then we get a little bit of resistance. Do we keep on pushing? Do we make a scene? Do we risk stretching our relationships that we rely on? It's a difficult thing. We don't always like change, and we don't like upsetting things that are going relatively smoothly. We know it's a fact of our life that we can put up with all kinds of things, even relatively horrible things, if we see them as regular, if they're just the way things are. Even if the way things are doesn't exactly match with our more profound beliefs and values. And Micah should really be our patron prophet, right? He's a small town guy. He's not Isaiah, they think, is probably more of a Jerusalem kind of guy, probably maybe in an important family. He seems to be able to get a lot of audiences with the king and the court. But Micah is a small town guy. And so he kind of preaches a little bit different message. He has a little bit different perspective. You know, those nasty Assyrians. If you're ever trying to remember what kind of people the Assyrians were like back in the times of the Bible, just remember the first three letters of their name, right? You know, they're not nice people. they were awful kind of people. And at this point in the history, in the time of Micah and Isaiah, they had already destroyed the northern half of Israel almost completely. But it wasn't like the southern half had gotten away exactly scot-free. Jerusalem held. They were under siege. They paid a little. Bribe to the Assyrians. The Lord stepped in and helped demolish some of their troops, and so Jerusalem survived for a while. But as you might imagine, the rest of the countryside wasn't so lucky. As you might imagine, Micah and his family and his friends and his fellow small town people, they saw things a little differently. And so when it came time to preach words of hope, of course, you know, he does the typical prophet thing of making sure that we all know the things that we screwed up on, things we need to repent for. But when Micah found hope, it wasn't in the typical hope kind of places. It wasn't in the big city places. It wasn't a hope of the big city kind of people, of the political leaders, of the religious leaders. It wasn't all the high and the mighty that he saw hope in. It was a hope from a small town kind of place. Small towns like his home, like Malmo, Minnesota, like Bethlehem. Hope and heroism and courage often come in unexpected, under-the-radar kind of places. Sometimes it's those of us in the small towns on the margins that have the message that needs to be preached. Of course, there is one wrinkle to that. As we learned in our women's Bible study this week, of course, there's often different advice in the Bible. And sometimes walking humbly is exactly the thing God wants us to do, right? But sometimes the Bible offers differing advice, and that isn't a weakness of the Bible, but it's because we face different situations. So there's actually a little bit more to that story of Colonel Morgenthaler that I didn't share. The story isn't quite finished. See, there's an ending to this whole beauty pageant drama. Now, as I mentioned, Mogorsky looked quite lovely in his red dress that he borrowed. He did end up being named Miss Foxhole of 1975 or whatever. But when it was Colonel Morgenthaler, when it was Jill's turn to trot out on the stage, you know, she heard all kinds of nasty cat calls, all kinds of sexual comments, and walking out in some sort of, you know, model walk or doing some kind of cute curtsy, that wasn't what she was going to do. So she faced down that crowd of thousands of testosterone-filled young men, and she flipped him the bird. Not exactly walking humbly, I suppose, but it was unexpected. And that mixture of courage and humor would serve her well. Her squad mates thought it was brilliant. They thought it was hilarious. So, you know, sometimes living out God's call for justice means that we're humble, that we're quietly kind and generous, that we reach out in sympathy towards others who are struggling. And sometimes it means we need to be bold, to stand up for what is right and to let everyone know it. Sometimes it means sharing our weaknesses. Sometimes it means willing to put on a dress and look ridiculous to help a friend. And sometimes, every once in a long while, it means flipping some people the bird. Amen. Not while I'm preaching, though. Okay.
please rise as you are able. With the people of God gathered here and throughout the world, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. O God, preserve your church from empty piety. Stir up our will to act with mercy and compassion. Keep up our bishops, pastors, teachers, and all who proclaim your good news strong in faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Provide all living things with sufficient food and clean water. Make us ever mindful of the farmers and laborers who supply us with food, and open our hands to share what we have received. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Awaken our nation to care for veterans and others who have experienced the stress and trauma of war or other military conflicts. Inspire us to promote the well-being of those who have put themselves in the service of others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bow down to meet those who are trampled. Greet them with mercy and give new life to those who feel overwhelmed or broken by discrimination, grief, or illness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless the ministries in our community that reach out to people who are unnoticed or neglected. Give us a common vision of justice that eliminates hunger, greed, and self-righteousness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Good and gracious God, this morning we pray for those in our community. We remember in prayer Gaylord Westerlund, that you may bring him healing and wholeness. We continue to pray for Gary Hansen, son of Skip, that you might be active in his life, bring him comfort and support in all of his family in this difficult time. We pray for Ron and Carol, and we also remember those far from our church here in Malmo. We remember especially today the people of California as they mourn lives lost in the Thousand Oaks shooting, and all those lives, homes, and businesses lost in wildfires raging through their state. Please be with all those, O God, who suffer in the wake of disaster, whether man-made or natural. And now, O God, we bless you for the lives of the saints who now rejoice. And now let us pray for all those other prayers that are on our hearts and in our minds. And we offer them now either out loud or in silence. Now, God, we bless you for the lives of the saints who now rejoice in your salvation face to face. Join us with all whom you have made righteous. Now we especially remember Marvin Berry. Ernest Berman. Eileen Dickinson. James Falk, Bev Fertelman, Owen Hines, Wilma Hines, Kamiko Liljenquist, Rose Peterson, Ivan Peterson, preserve us all, O God, in eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, enfold all things in your compassion, O God, and bring us into your life through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
Christ our Savior, sound. Creator God, you made everything, and you provide for every need. The bread we break and the wine we pour come from you. As we eat and drink with thanksgiving, fill us with your love. Let that love flow through us to others, and join us to the saints before us in a holy promise of communion. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
God, our bread of life, our table, and our food. You created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life, and fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after sup, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make us the body of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Hunger no more, thirst no more. Come to the banquet of life. All are welcome. Thank you. us pray. Sovereign God,
in this meal you give us a foretaste of the great feast to come. Keep us faithful to you, that we and all your saints may at length celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The love of God surround you, the grace of Christ release you, and the Holy Spirit be your guide and strength, now and forevermore.
Amen.
Let's just, we'll do the dismissal after, I think, the song. So our closing